Thank you, Chair, for being with us this morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to the 150th Psalm, Psalm 150. I'd like to, by God's grace, complete the sermon I began last week. Psalm 150, and I'll read all 6 verses of that short psalm. If you have that passage before you, would you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm is a collection, as I mentioned to you last week. I'll try to make any references to last week's sermon as brief as possible so that we can complete our message today. But Psalms is a collection of spiritual songs, as you probably know. They were geared towards the corporate worship of Israel. The Psalms, particularly, were written by numerous authors, as I mentioned, Moses, the sons of Korah the priest, David's son Solomon, Asaph, among others. Now, of course, David is the most decorated, most recognized author of many of the Psalms. He was prolific. As we know, David was a multi-gifted person, an author, musician, talented musician, and certainly greatest warrior king in the history of Israel. The very symbol that references the people of Israel today is the Star of David. In general, the Psalms, they're a collection of these praises and prayers in response to the ever-changing state of the human condition. The vicissitudes of life, it could be called, a highfalutin word that might be. The Psalms, then, it covers life in its full circle, covers life in its ups and downs, and that's why the Psalms are so relevant to people even today. The joys of life and also the saddest of times. Times of hurt and pain as well as times of euphoria. David experienced this, of course, in his own life. It's easy for him to be able to come up with the words to express his feelings in these times of great distress. Psalms covers the lives of people at their lowest depths. It's not fun living in that lane in life when things are confusing and you don't understand why these things are happening or why someone has turned against you or why someone has disappointed you or why your job has let you go or why you didn't get this job, why your marriage is not joyous and fulfilling, why your children have neglected and ignored your wise, godly counsel and are not living for the Lord. Psalms covers every bit of the ups and downs of life, the successes as well as our disappointments. And as I said a moment ago, that's why it resonates with all of us, because it's where we live. Psalms is on Main Street. The reading of the Psalms, its content deals with life head on, and it deals with life in brutal honesty. There's times of great fear also. There's times of great joy. The Psalms records questions and answers. There are expressions of one whose faith is faint, and when at other times there are recorded seasons of great faith. The Psalms records these things. I should say that in the Psalms, the sword of divine providence has a dull edge as well as a sharp one. Let me say that again. In the Psalms, the sword of divine providence is when God's plan has been disclosed to us in a magnificently beautiful way. Everything seems to be going right. It's perfect. Whereas the dark or dull edge of divine providence is when we walk through the dark valleys and alleys of life and see the shadows of evil seemingly lurking around every corner. We can't buy encouragement, let alone receive it freely. There are indeed two sides of divine providence. At a glance, it's true. The Psalms are a specimen of poetic splendor, which defies the human ability. However, with all of the beauty of its style, there is also tremendous substance in the book of Psalms. Finally, when we finally reach the 150th Psalm, the last of these 150 recorded Psalms, it provides its reader with a climactic conclusion to the book as a whole. The 150th Psalm has been called the finale of the spiritual concert and seemingly presents a summary of all that should have been learned by even the reader of the first 149 previous Psalms or an ancient worshiper who had heard and sung these same psalms in the congregation of Israel as they gathered in the temple at Jerusalem. This psalm is a tribute, as it were, a tribute to Israel and the world's great and only true God, the Lord of Israel, the Savior of the people. In some instances in the book of Psalms, it's like the Lord of Israel has been placed on trial. And this 150th Psalm provides the final verdict. God has the final say. With the psalmist's majestic and mighty words, the Lord of Israel is not only vindicated, but the Lord Almighty is proven even more than worthy of the praises of the Lord's people and also worthy of the praises of the Lord's entire created universe. Now, the word praise, which also means glory in Holy Scripture, was used 13 times in this one particular short 6-verse psalm. As I mentioned to you last week, it is as if the writer of this psalm cannot emphasize enough the firm conviction of the truth that the Lord of creation is without serious doubt or substantive argument alone worthy of praise. Praise to the Lord is appropriate anywhere and at any time. Joseph praised the Lord after having been sold into Egypt. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Genesis 50, verse 20. Daniel praised the Lord while he was in Babylonian captivity, enslaved. Daniel answered, King, live forever. May God, my God, has sent his angel to save me. The angel closed the lion's mouths. The lions have not hurt me because my God knows I am innocent. Daniel chapter 6, verse 21. Paul and Silas praised the Lord while they were imprisoned. Around midnight, they should have been in bed. Around midnight, there was no curfew when it comes to praying. So around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open. The chains of every prisoner fell off. Acts chapter number 16, verses 25 through 26. Paul and Silas were praying and singing at midnight while in jail, and the Lord responded to their praise. Well, Stephen praised the Lord while he was being stoned to death. The 7th chapter of the book of Acts. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord. What a way to die. They continued stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Acts 7:59. Well, praise is appropriate on land or on the seas. Whether you're riding in a car or whether you're on a boat, praise is appropriate anywhere. Praise works whether one is in the desert, as the Israelites discovered, or while you're working, or while at leisure. Praise is always appropriate. It is the highest expression of gratitude the human being is capable of. Praise is not necessarily scripted, but it is often the spontaneous response to the goodness of God. And it is a result of the head and the soul collaborating on the goodness of our God and the sincere and deepest appreciation of the Christian to their God. Genuine praise is an installment payment on the debt of gratitude from the receiver to the lender. Praise, then, is one's highest expression of honor to God. It is the dependence response to the dependable, that would be God. And the holy response, a holy response by the lacking to the divine supplier, that also would be God. Praise is both the duty as well as the privileged delight of the saints of God. Never should it be said that any who believe in the only Lord and Savior and who are born of the Holy Spirit need to be coerced into fulfilling our duty and delight in the worship and privilege of God, our glorious Lord. Our view of the Almighty God tells us of the Lord's fresh mercies that are renewed daily and provide fresh evidence of the works of God's own hand. God's greatness and grandeur is clearly seen, Paul told the Roman church in Romans 1. It's clearly seen throughout the entire universe. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, having been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse, Romans 1:20. And finally, it should be noted in this introduction, as I close the introduction, that Psalms also provides the who, what, where, when, why of praise to God. In our text, who or what should praise the Lord? I mentioned to you last week several verses in the 148th Psalm where the angels were charged to praise him. All his host praise him. Sun, moon, rising or shining stars, praise him, you highest heavens. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea creatures and all the deep. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy winds, praise the Lord. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and cedar trees, praise the Lord. Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all the rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. The 148th Psalm says those should praise the Lord. It is appropriate for the humble, the downcast, the poor, or lowly by this world's standards, that is, to praise the Lord, just as it is appropriate for the proud, the exalted, the wealthy, the educated, as well as the undereducated, to praise the Lord anywhere and at any time. All beneficiaries of the Lord's goodness and grace are commanded to praise the Lord. Whether you had bologna or filet mignon for dinner, you should praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for every heartbeat, every breath, every bit of strength. Praise the Lord for the operation of our limbs, the ability to think and see and hear and laugh and cry. Praise the Lord for the whimper of a baby, the sage wise words of the elderly, the joy of a treasured friendship, the endurance of a happy marriage. Praise the Lord for meaningful work, for a time of leisurely retirement. Praise the Lord for every paycheck, every vacation or trip. And finally, praise the Lord for Jesus. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Who should praise him? Or whom ought to praise the Lord? Well, everything and everyone ought to praise the Lord. That's the recommendation of the psalmist. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the 107th Psalm says. It includes everyone and it leaves off no one or nothing. It is to be a full choir and complete orchestra of people, nations, tongues, creatures by the 10,000s who all should burst forth in beautiful, harmonious praise to the Lord. Each person, each creature, every glowing planet, every twinkling star have their own unique way to praise the Lord. Everything and everyone giving its own testimony in its own way. After all, no one can praise the Lord like you. Your experience and my experience with the Lord is unique. So no one can praise the Lord for you as well as the fact that no one can praise the Lord for me. Regarding people, every nation, race, ethnicity, color ought to praise the Lord. From the original indigenous people of Australia to Eskimos in Alaska, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The Church of the Living God in all of its expressions should praise the Lord. All denominations, all associations of Christians, believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of affiliation, should all praise the Lord. Praise is not exclusive to Baptists, thank God. It's not exclusive to Catholics or exclusive to the Church of Christ or Episcopalians. Praise to the Lord is not exclusive to the Holiness Movement or Lutherans or Nazarenes. It's certainly not exclusive to Pentecostals or us Presbyterians. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let every young person, every not so young, the aged, the single, the divorced, married, rich, poor, the healthy and the weakened, the noble, the proud, the humble, those who rule as well as those who are being ruled are all commanded to praise the Lord. When or where should we praise the Lord? Praise the Lord in his sanctuary, the 150th Psalm, verse 1 says. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise is just appropriate on land or on the seas, or as the disciples learned. Praise works rather ones in the desert, as the Israelites discovered, or while you're working or at leisure. Our God is everywhere at the same time, so praise is appropriate any time. Rather, one is on Eastern Standard Time, Central Time, Mountain or Pacific Time. Praise is appropriate and always in season. Praise the Lord in the morning, in the noonday, the evening, or when the sun rises or sets. Praise the Lord, whether it's raining outside or sunny. Praise the Lord in cold weather seasons or the warmth of summer. Praise the Lord, whether we are healthy or ill, in good seasons or bad, when our finances are high or when they are low, we must praise the Lord. If your finances are low, praise the Lord, they're not lower. If your health is poor, praise the Lord that it's not worse. If you cannot afford filet mignon, thank God you're not hungry. If you have trouble, praise the Lord that it won't last always. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, because as the 147th Psalm, verse 1 says, it is good to sing praises unto God. It's believed that the psalm was initially sung by the Levitical priest, but eventually opened up to the entire congregation as a part of their worship of the Lord Adonai. It was too good to keep to themselves, but everyone must have an opportunity for expression or to give thanks to God. It's too good to keep to yourself. Have you given the Lord the thanks that is due His name? Have you given the Lord thanks He's worthy of? Have you said to the Lord recently, thank you? Now, why should we praise the Lord? The 150th Psalm, verse 2 says, praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Because when I was a transgressor of the law, the Lord God did not give me or you justice, but instead the Lord showed us mercy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 107, verse 1. I and you deserved justice because we broke the law of God. But the Lord did not give us what we deserve, thank God. The Lord gave us mercy. So finally, praise the Lord for Jesus, that messenger of mercy. Praise Him because He is the solution to sin and He is the answer to death. Praise the Lord because He is reliable help in trouble and lasting peace in confusion. Praise Him because He is the true source of joy and the only reason for hope. Praise the Lord because in Jesus' name is full salvation and free healing. Praise Him because He is the epitome of excellence and the grandeur of grace. Praise the Lord Jesus because He is the essence and the definition of love. Praise Him because His love is wider than the oceans, deeper than the seas, and higher than any mountain. Praise Him because His purposes are pure and His will is trustworthy. Praise the Lord because He is higher than the heavens and He's holier than the holy. Praise Him because His character is lovelier than the lilies, more fragrant than a rose and sweeter than honey. Praise the Lord Jesus because He is the definition of goodness and the ultimate example of kindness. Praise Him because His character is in an unexplainable. Let it be said He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The 34th Psalm, verse 8 says, praise Him because He's holier than the priest, more perfect than Enoch, of whom it was said he walked with God. Praise the Lord because He's greater than Moses. He's wiser than Solomon. And the Lord is a more excellent sacrifice who needed to die but once for your sins and mine. Why should we praise the Lord? Praise the Lord because He covered and forgave the sin of Adam and Eve. Praise Him because He spared Noah and his family. Praise the Lord because He led and blessed Abraham. He chose Isaac and Jacob to establish a covenant family. Praise Him because He moved Moses out of Egypt to be a savior for His people Israel. Praise Him because the Lord walked with Enoch. He redeemed Rahab from certain death and rescued Ruth. Praise the Lord because He propped up Peter when he had fallen and saved Saul of Tarsus. Praise Him because He dared to be bruised for you and my healing. He died for my pardon and forgiveness. And He rose from the dead to new life that we might have new life in Him. Praise Him because He, our Lord, is our rock and our fortress. Praise Him because He is our deliverer and strong tower. Praise the Lord our God because the Lord is our shield and our refuge. Praise Him because the Lord is our horn or star or power of strength. Strength of my salvation and the stronghold in my Savior. Praise Him because the Lord saw you and me before we were ever conceived and called us to Himself before we took our first breath. Praise Him because He sealed our hearts into the day of redemption by His blood. How can we praise the Lord? You can praise Him in the morning, as I said earlier.
You can praise the Lord in the evening. You can praise Him while at home or abroad. You can praise Him with uplifted hands, with bowed heads, with open or closed eyes. You can praise the Lord while seated or standing or on bended knee or laying down. Praise the Lord with laughter or with tears, with a song or with a dance. Praise Him in silence or praise Him with the loud sounding instruments. You can praise the Lord by yourself or praise Him with a multitude. Verses 3 through 5 says this of the same song. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord for their breath. Without God, we would not have breath to praise the Lord. How can I praise the Lord? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. This is from Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. How can I praise the Lord? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be held in awe above all gods. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.